speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
And the question that is posed is asked, how public does sin have to be before God requires it to be taken before the church? There certainly is in the Bible a difference between public and private sin. When we think with reference to private sin, a private sin is whenever a person will do something that is a violation of the law of God, hence a transgression of the law of God, will either go too far or not far enough as to what it is that God commands us to do. They might do that by saying something. They might do that by in their actions in life, or they might even, as we talked about this morning, commit this sin in their heart. And hence, in this definition that we want to give with regard to private sin, well, what would constitute a private sin? Whenever a person's sin is only between God and you, there are things that we might think, there are things that we might say, there are things that an individual might do, that in reality it will only be between them and God. For instance, if you're in the privacy of your own home and you stump your toe or something like that, something causes you, or as a response of this or that, you say something that you shouldn't say. You act out in a way that you should not act. That would constitute sin in the sight of God, and therefore that is something that is known strictly between you and God. The same might be true as you're driving down the roadway and somebody cuts you off or something, and you say something or you think something, and hence it is sin in the sight of God. And again, that is strictly between you and God, and hence that would be qualified as a private sin. Whenever we would sin in this nature, hence we have an obligation as well as a privilege to be able to go before God privately and ask God to forgive us of the unrighteous act that we have thought or said or done that would have violated His law. And we know that God stands willing and ready to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I will go on to point out that if we take care of those matters, I believe that 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through verse 10 tells us that we continue to walk in the light. Why? Because the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do not take care of those matters, then the blood of Christ will not cover us if we're not willing to go to God and ask God to forgive us. Another area that I have put under here that might also fall into this realm of private sin is whenever a person's sin involves a private party. That might be between an individual where two people are involved, or it might even involve a small group. Allow me to give an illustration. There was a point in time wherein that a member said something to another member or about another member in the presence of a group. In that, an individual who was a part of that conversation or a part of what was said, heard what was said, immediately I was told that they went to that individual and talked to that person and said, "Listen, you ought not to have said what you said. That was sin in the sight of God." That person that had gone to them went out of love and sincerity for the sake of that soul. That person did not listen to them. In fact, they brushed it off. And it was told to me is that they went on about their way. They did not apologize. They did not do anything to make things right. I received a phone call later that night, and as a result of that phone call, I went the following day and sat with that individual and talked to them and identified that it's my understanding that you have said this in the presence of certain ones. Did you do that? And the person said, "Yes, I did." And it's also my understanding that somebody came to you and talked to you, and yet at the same time, you refused to listen to what they had to say. "Yes, I did." Well, in that then, I'm here today to tell you that you need to repent of that, is that we need to offer prayer and that it needs to be taken care of. And the person to begin with said, "No, I don't see that I've sinned." Well, after longer discussion, this individual finally came to a conclusion. Yes, they had committed sin. And they said, "Well, this matter is just between you and me." And I said, "I don't believe so anymore." In this regard, had you taken care of the matter whenever the person first came to you and that you had gone back into this group that was a part of that, hence it was in a more private setting. And then it could have been taken care of in that private setting amongst you and amongst those fellow Christians. But now it's gone out into a broader audience. And therefore, it's entered into what is constituted, I believe, from what is defined in Scripture as public sin. How so and why? Well, in this context, as what we would understand with regard to this individual, is that the person's sin can now bring reproach upon the body of Christ. It's not right for people to gossip. So therefore, whenever we understand or learn something about one another, let me tonight also say is that we've got to be very careful about talking about individuals. Now, it's one thing to go to the person, hence you're dealing with that person, but then also it's okay to go to somebody else to involve them, that they might get involved to help straighten out the matter. But at the same time, sometimes we don't act in that way and it just runs through the church. And friends, that is constituted as sin also in the sight of God. Whenever an individual sins, for instance, in the illustration that I've laid before you with regard to the member, hence that individual, because of the fact that things are oftentimes prone to go out of that small group and into a larger group, hence it can bring reproach upon the church amongst the body of Christ itself. But then also, especially if it goes out into the community. The community knows that we are striving, we are to strive to be the people of God, to shine as a light. And whenever somebody says or does something that is inconsistent with Scripture that would constitute sin, friends, the world looks down upon the church. That's what reproach is. So whenever it enters into the realm where that it could possibly bring reproach upon the church, then by all means it needs to be dealt with in a public manner. Take into consideration in the context of the book of Acts chapter 5 verses 1 through verse 11 with Ananias and Sapphira. They had sold a possession of land. And in that, they had concocted in their minds that they were going to lie unto the apostles with regard to what the selling price of that land was. And in that, they kept back a portion and they gave the rest, if you would, to the church. But when they presented it, they presented that they were given everything unto the church. In that, did they lie to the apostles? Absolutely. Did they lie to the congregation? Most certainly. But friends, according to what Peter says, in regard to the context there, they also lied to God by lying to the Holy Spirit. Hence, it was a public sin. Had they repented of that, had they taken care of the matter, I don't believe that it would have cost them their life. But yet at the same time, they've refused to do so. In that, their sin could have easily and most certainly it brought reproach upon the church. Also take into consideration what we find in the book of Acts chapter 8 concerning Simon the sorcerer. He is amongst the multitude of men and women in verse 12 and following who put Christ on in baptism. Remember Simon, he tricked people, and that's the way that he made his living. And whenever he witnessed that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, he wanted to be able to purchase that power so that he could move forward with his old way of life. Didn't take him long in the context anyway, it appears, to revert back to the sinful way of thinking and sinful way of living. Well, in that, Peter rebuked him. And it has become a very private, what might have been in a very private setting to begin with, it appears to me as if it's gone into a more public realm. And hence, Peter is inquired by this man to pray on his behalf. So we have illustrations in Scripture with regard to what is under consideration as to what God requires when we sin publicly. But then also another area for us to consider about public sin, it's when a person's sin could lead other saints into sinful behavior. Those things need to be addressed by the eldership. To begin with, it needs to be addressed in a private way, I believe. And I draw that out of what we find in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 and following. In the words of Jesus, he says that if a brother sees another sin, in the English translation, a lot of them say, if a brother sins against you, the you is not there in the original language. So therefore, if we gain knowledge of a brother sinning, we see this or we hear it, the Bible says that we are to go to them privately between us and them. So that's going back to it may begin in a private realm and we can take care of that matter. But if he does not hear, then it moves into more of a public area. And in that sense, the witness, the one who has initially gone to them, is to take others with them. A reason in that context certainly is that every word might be established. But then in like figure, to set up the possibility that it's going to go to the next phase. And what is that next phase? If they refuse to hear those who have gone this second round, then it is to go before the congregation. And the congregation then has a responsibility to go to these individuals. Going back to the fact that a person's sin, public sin, might lead others into sinful behavior. Remember what took place over at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 11, with regard to the father's son having a immoral sexual relationship with his stepmother. That's what we would assume in the context from the build of the passage. From what we find there is that they are to withdraw from that one. Why? For the sake of the body. Also, for the sake of that soul, that he might become ashamed and he might wake up and return. But then also it's identified by the Apostle Paul that a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. In other words, that if he continues on and nothing's done about that, others might also think that it's okay for them to engage in the same type of sin or in other types of sin. So in this, God identifies that whenever a person sins in that area, it needs to be dealt with. And also the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15, I believe that that's in the public area, is that if a brother is walking disorderly, not according to the traditions, not according to the commandments of God, is the way that that ought to be understood, is that they need to be dealt with. And hence it can even come to the point to where a withdrawal of fellowship is necessary. What is the significance of public prayer whenever an individual, sin moves outside of the private setting and into the public arena? Hence, it is imperative, it is most important for them to receive God's forgiveness according to the way in which God says that they are to receive forgiveness. And in this, the Scripture identifies in James chapter 5, verses 10 through verse 20, is that it needs to be dealt with as public as what it is. In that, taking it before the church is indeed the role to take. But then in like figure, whenever an individual has sinned publicly and they go before the congregation, it gives us an opportunity as the church to reaffirm our love for this soul. And that is especially true whenever they have been withdrawn from, whenever they are no longer in our fellowship. And according to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 11, whenever they are brought back, whenever they do repent and prayer is offered, we need to make sure that we reaffirm our love towards those who have had gone astray. But then also, I believe that a public prayer allows us to reveal the person's repentance publicly. For instance, if somebody has been involved in drinking out in the community and they're a member of the body of Christ, that news spreads through the town like you wouldn't believe. If somebody's been involved in an extramarital relationship, in adultery, that also spreads through the community. And hence, when and if that person comes forward in those situations or others, that it is out there publicly, not only do we see their repentance, but then as people in the community would say, oh, you attend over at East End or you attend over there where that drunkard attends, it would give us, would it not, an opportunity to say, listen, don't talk about my brother or my sister like that. Yes, they made a mistake. They realized they made a mistake. But at the same time, they brought this before the church. We have prayed on their behalf. And they're doing all that is within their power to do now to turn their life around. And please stop talking about them in this negative manner. So I believe that public prayer gives us as a congregation that format to be able to stand in their defense after they have repented.